Welcome to another edition of the Infinite Loopcast.
Hello.
Aaron.
Yes, we're here again.
We are here.
On our bi-weekly.
Yes, fortnightly.
Yeah.
Some people call that.
Yes.
What a splendid time of year it is, Aaron.
Yes. Loads of games.
Friday that was dark has been and gone.
Yes. I got
did
a
few
things.
Did you purchase anything? What did you purchase?
VR headset.
Did you? I thought that fell through.
It did, but then I found somebody at work that had ordered it and decided to change their mind.
And what were your thoughts?
It's all right. It's not great, but it's all right. It's the Lenovo I've got.
Mm-hmm.
I've only just got it working because it's a bit fiddly because you need to have Bluetooth 4 on your machine for it to work correctly.
Okay.
And pairing the controllers up is a bit more fiddly because you have to pair them up yourself. It does have a go. And it did find them, but then it lost them when I actually went into the app. So that was a bit weird. It's all a bit fiddly. It's not quite as streamlined as the Oculus was. Or the PlayStation, obviously. So, yeah, it was a bit more fiddly, but not horrendous now. And I forgot, I didn't realise you had to install an extra program on Steam. That is the interface between mixed reality and Steam VR.
Oh, really? It's not a Steam VR thing.
There's a little tool. You just download it and install it, and it works in Steam VR. Then it's sort of Windows mixed reality for Steam, and it just once you've installed that, it works. It's on Steam, so you just search for it on Steam and install it. It just wasn't working, so I wondered why. And yeah, that was the reason, apparently. So yeah, it's all working now. So I'm all ready to go. I've got a new HOTAS turning up.
Oh yeah, what have you ordered?
Just a cheap one for the second rig. Just got a, what is it, T-Flight 4? Which is the PS4 version of the T-Flight.
And that will work with PC?
That will work with PC and PS4. So I could use it for the PS4 version of Elite Dangerous.
Yeah.
Which I think is about the only game it does work for. It's a bit limited. I think is it Ace Combat or whatever it is that's coming out. That will work. I think that's the idea. But yeah, so should be good. But I haven't really played with it much. The Windows Mixed Reality Home seems a bit janky. It's not as nice as the Steam and the Oculus Homes, but maybe I just haven't spent enough time in it. So I went in and immediately it says, oh, this piece is being decommissioned and this is taking over and stuff. And I'm thinking, okay. And I went on the Windows Store because it's got Windows Store built in and I went, oh, okay, what's on Windows Store? About 5 apps. There's a few games, obviously, but obviously I've got a lot of those on Steam already, so I'm not going to buy them again on Windows Store. But yeah, there wasn't much. They don't give you a huge amount with your mixed reality headset. You know how when with Oculus you got that camper van,
yes,
intro? And with Vive you got the labs. The Steam Labs sort of thing?
I haven't done the Steam Labs thing.
Have you not done the labs?
No.
Where you get to fire the companion cubes into the warehouse and things like that?
No.
That's good. Because it works on Oculus as well. It didn't work very well originally, but it does work pretty well now. So, it's worth doing. So that's definitely worth it. But yes, you got those on those two platforms, and then on Windows Mixed Reality, you've got nothing really. You can watch some films if you want. You can buy some films if you want.
What is mixed reality like?
Well, it's VR, effectively. It's just VR. Okay. They call it mixed reality because the same platform, I think, works with AR and VR. Because the idea is that it's the same set of libraries for both. But obviously, the mixed reality headset I got was a VR headset. So it's just VR. It's all right. I had some tracking issues with the controllers.
Mm.
But that's it. The headset's been fine. It's great. I don't notice the screen door effect too much on the Oculus now. But the new mixed reality headset's supposed to be better. So who knows? It's supposed to be a better quality, higher resolution than the Rift. So hopefully it'll be better. I'll have a play. So I've not really played much in it yet because I've only just figured out how to get everything working on it. So the new version of Elite Dangerous comes out today. So I shall boot that up on both systems and see how well it works on both.
Does it now? Is there an update then if I boot up Steam?
Yep. Yep, there's a big update. It's the main one for Beyond.
I'll go wreck my internet then while we're doing the show.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, that adds new mining stuff. So mining actually is a bit more interesting now. New exploration stuff, the codex, some graphical updates, night vision modes, all sorts of different...
Night vision modes? Surely you just turn on the ship lights?
No, because it's not great. Because the lights only... They're headlights, so they only show a certain distance in front of you, which obviously is great for if you're driving a car, but not if you're driving a spaceship that's going at a silly speed.
So I didn't appreciate what you said. It's 7.4 gigabytes.
Yeah, it's a big update.
Bigger than big.
I think the whole game's something like 40 now, isn't it? It's quite big. Because they just obviously keep adding to it. So I've just updated that. I don't know whether I can see in Oculus how big it is. It says it's only 20 gig in Oculus. Oculus Home. So that's, half the game, effectively. So yeah, they've all redone all the visuals, a bunch of visuals and stuff. And apparently I get some new paint jobs and bobbleheads for free today for being a lifetime member.
What more would you want
I know.
In life?
Yeah. If you'd, paid £100 for your lifetime membership.
I mean, what else should you want?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, they're releasing, basically, Beyond is the last one that's been included in the Horizons, they say.
Okay.
So next year's updates will be paid. There'll be a new season or whatever.
Did you get Endspace in the VR sale?
No.
It was down to how much?
I didn't even realise what that was.
Well, the Oculus did the daily deal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't see that. I've got so many games at the moment that I've not been playing.
Oh, you're telling me.
I know.
Painful.
Because I just bought Orca's Path.
Yes, you said you got it on the Doobreed angle.
On Steam.
Yes.
Yeah, so I had a go at that. It's a bit weird. I'm not sure I like the head tracking controls on it. It's alright, but if you're tired and you're using your neck to control it and you've got this headset on, feels a bit uncomfortable to me. It's just a bit weird. Maybe if I wasn't so tired when I was playing it, maybe it'd be a bit better. But yeah, it felt a bit uncomfortable. Because I could reset the view apparently, but I couldn't reset it vertically. Because what I was trying to do is make it so the surface was pointing down. But it refused.
Right.
It refused to do that. It reset my position, but it wouldn't reset the angle. It wouldn't let me alter the angle of the playfield. So it made the horizontal, and that was it. You couldn't have it any other way. So that was a bit annoying. Obviously, it would make it a bit confusing when the ball's rolling different ways. It is a rolling ball puzzle, after all.
That is essentially what it is, right?
Yeah, you played that, didn't you?
It's Super Monkey Ball VR.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. I've played a few levels. I've only played about three. But, yeah, it's quite good. I quite enjoy it. But, yeah, the control method, I sort of wished it had allowed you to have other controls, like hand controls or whatever, if you've got them. It's great that it has that universal control method, but, yeah, it's just holding my head and just snapping my head around to control the ball so it doesn't fall off the thing. Okay, it's not huge movement, but you've got to try and quickly move. Because it's time trial as well. So when you finish a level, if you get all the crystals in that level, you unlock time trial.
So now?
Yes, for that level. So you can time trial against your friends and things. I've not done time trial yet, but yeah, I'm not sure how well my neck's going to survive that, so we'll see. Yeah, so I've played some of that. That was quite good. What else have I been playing? I've just been playing the usual, really. What else did I play? I'm just trying to look at my recent played games. See what else I played. Oh, Black Desert. I played an awful lot of Black Desert recently.
There was an update for that, wasn't there?
Yes. Yeah. The DLC patch is out. But I'm nowhere near that. I think I'm only level 40-something. I think you have to be about level 60 or something. It's endgame stuff, I think, a lot of it is. But yeah, I was trying to sort out my inventory space and things like that. And yeah, it's doing all right. Having a quick play. I've worked from home a couple of times last week. So I basically set it to AFK fishing. So I set it AFK fishing in the morning, come back at lunchtime, sort out the fish, set it to go again in the afternoon.
And then a very expensive way of playing an RPG, isn't it? Just leaving it running.
Yeah. But it's the thing is, it's a really inefficient way of fishing as well, to AFK fish. I think one day I did actually leave it AFK running. AFK walking or running or whatever. Because that levels up your stamina or something. Your breathing. So, yeah, I did that. But then, I played it at lunchtime. So, I had a quick go in the morning. Left it doing AFK, played it at lunchtime, left it doing AFK, and then played it in the evening. So it's quite a nice little thing. So I've been playing that. I've not really been playing that many games. I've patched up Astrobot Ready to play, but I didn't get around to playing that. And another one, Moss. I've patched up Moss, so that's all ready to play. So those two are ready to play. So I'm going to play those for next week. So I've set up my PSV already to play Astrobot and then realised I needed to install it and then patch it, so I didn't get to play it that day. But it is all set up and ready to go, and I've charged my wands now, so should be good. It's all ready.
Should be good.
Yeah. So that's ready. I've got my new mixed reality ready to go. I've got Elite Dangerous ready to go on two machines.
It's all going, the Aaron Tech Centre.
Yeah, and yeah, I'll be doing some VR tomorrow at work, so we'll see how that goes.
Hope the boss won't notice.
Well, no, it's all above board.
Okay.
It's all good. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe some new stuff coming out about VR. Should be nice.
Interesting to see.
Yeah.
When do you reckon you're gonna get bored of Elite?
When they stop releasing updates, probably. I've not been playing it as much as I used to. I dip in every now and then. Every week, I'll probably spend an hour on it or something. I'm not, although, yeah, and then I'll go through a phase where I spend, you know, 3 nights a week playing it for a couple of weeks. I reckon over the next week, I'm going to play quite a lot because the new patch is out. I'm going to do some exploration because it is a big exploration update. So there's loads of exploring. But yeah, I usually have a go when the new ships come out, when the new games come out, I'll dip back in and play some more. And then if I get, you know, if every now and then I want to just jump into VR and play some. But I might be doing some streaming on it. So that's the idea, is I'll do some Elite Dangerous VR streaming. So get it all ready and go. Because you can stream chat now into the headset with the new Oculus Home.
Which chat? The Oculus chat?
The YouTube or Twitch or whatever. You can pop out a window and have it in VR space with you. Have you done that?
No.
So while you're playing a game,
yeah.
If you pause the game, press the Oculus button on your controller, it'll bring up the ribbon at the bottom.
Yeah.
If you click desktop, it'll bring the desktop up. Then you grab it with the grab controller, grab control on your control, on your touch controllers. So you grab it and you can pull it towards you, pull the screen towards you, or pull a window towards you and detach it from the desktop view and put it in 3D space. And then you can pin it. And then when you press the Oculus button to dismiss the ribbon, it dismisses everything but that pinned window, and that pinned window stays there. So you can have a video or YouTube or whatever, any window running while you're... So if you want Spotify working, you can have that running in a window in your VR space while you're playing a game.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So you can do that for chat. So if you've got...
Does that require a lot more processing power? Because you know how like, VR is quite CPU intensive.
It does. It does require a bit more processing power, but I've got plenty, so...
Is this on your Threadripper rig?
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Would it work on your normal rig?
No, I don't think it would. So basic stuff, I don't know, it did work. I did have it running, but when I was doing stream, because I had YouTube running, so I had YouTube music videos running inside VR while I'm flying through space in Elite Dangerous. But I did notice at times it did get a bit juddery. It didn't cope so well on my old rig. But that was I think it was a Gen 4 or Gen 5.
I5. See how it copes on my one then. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, because you've got, yours is a 6 core anyway, isn't it?
It is, but it's an old school Xenon.
Yeah, but it's still 6-core, because most games are tuned for 4 cores.
Okay.
So you could therefore, your game won't be using all 6 cores, so you can use your extra cores for your YouTube. And processing.
Will the processor know that it can do that type of thing? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it just... What you'll find is the game will probably have 4 threads running, which will split across 4 cores, and then your other threads will just go on whatever CPU isn't being utilized at the time. So it load balances the heavy threads across the CPU cores, or CPU threads, depending if you've got hyper-threading. So it balances it. Sometimes it works better than other times, but they're getting better and better at managing that. Because it used to be that your threads couldn't be moved very efficiently between CPU cores because of the memory, because you have to move the memory across between the CPU cores. So that's one of the big problems with multi-threading, is that if you need to share data between your threads, it's quite intensive because you have to pause the two cores and move the data across. It's not a big procedure, but if you're doing it a lot, it can impact your performance. But the people are writing code for multi-threaded now. So, yeah, if they're writing it for four threads and they're running four threads, then you've got two cores. They're just doing OS-level stuff, other stuff. So voice chat or whatever else the OS is doing. So you might find that it won't make any difference to you at all if you've got six cores. Because they're designed for a four-core system.
Right.
Because obviously most people have four-core at the moment. In future, that's going to change.
Well, everything's going like 7-core and stuff now, right?
Yeah, yeah, everything's upping their cores, so it's going to be quite... get a bit more interesting.
Well, what do you think is going to be like the default core position? Because you know at the moment an i3 is sort of the basic. Do you think we'll get to the stage where 5 cores is just the basic?
I think 6 cores is going to be the basic soon.
Really?
Yeah, because we're currently on 4 cores. And a lot of the CPUs
What's
now...
What's an i3? Is an i3 3-core?
No, it's not. It's 2-core, I think. Your base model is 2-core, but I think you can now get 4-core i3s.
Okay.
Because I think you can get 4... I think even Atom processors are 4 cores these days. You can get 4-core Atoms. But yeah, most...
So it's literally getting impossible to get anything other than a 4-core.
Yeah, yeah. It's, your mobile processors are about the only ones that will be less than 4-core these days. If your phones are 4-core these days. Or
right.
8 cores, actually, now.
The I was going to say, your Android ones are 8-core, aren't they?
Oh, well, mine is. Mine's a 4-core, but that's because it's an old model. Yeah, the octo-cores are quite common these days. On mobiles. You say the latest Raspberry Pi is 4-core.
Is it?
Yes.
What number are they up to with the Raspberry Pi?
3+, I think.
Ooh.
Cores are the way to go. Because they can't... I don't think they can make the processors clock any higher. So they're having to put more cores in to get the more processing power. But that
right.
means the games are going to have to be written across the multi-threading. So you have to split your threads more. So, but yeah, so I'm hopefully that's the way it's going, because obviously I've just gone Threadripper, so I'm running 12 cores at the moment. So 6 cores for the game, 6 cores for, you know, recording and all the extras.
So does that mean that as things get more developed for 6-core, actually my PC will run better than it runs now?
What it'll be is you won't see any slowdown. Even though you've got an older rig, you won't see the slowdown that the 4-core machines will see.
Right.
Because as they use the extra cores, your machine will just go, oh, okay, I've got something to do with these extra cores that have been sat there idle. You could have a look now. You could run up resource... if you run up Task Manager at the bottom, it's the resource. I can't remember what it's called. Resource Manager or Resource.
Okay,
analyzer.
Well, that'll show me.
And that'll show you individual cores and what's going off on each core and each thread. And see how well your cores are being utilized in a game. If you've got a second monitor or something, you just stick it up on there and you can just see while you're playing what your cores are doing. There's a program called HW Info as well. That's quite nice. That does that as well. And does your temperatures and stuff.
Let's have a look. I can't remember what I used for temperatures. There's another piece of software that does temperatures.
I used to use FanSpeed, but I'm using Hardware Info now.
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Yeah, because FanSpeed would... You could... It was back when your fans weren't as good, well-controlled
right.
as they are these days. So you could manually control your fans. But yeah, everything overclocks the fans and stuff now. Allows you to do your own dynamics on the fans. So that's... Yeah, so I'll get there. What else on that? Yeah, I don't know. It's all going... Really nice, looking forward to that. But yeah, I've got to build a new rig for work at soon, for a VR rig for work, so that'll be nice. I think we're going twin 1080 Ti's.
That sounds like a hell of a support machine.
Well, that's for, if you want to live stream VR, you have to have two 1080 Ti's just to stream VR.
Just to stream in VR?
Yeah. So if you,
that's not to do the streaming. That,
that's
that
to do
to
the streaming.
Stream.
No, that's to do the streaming. See. Yeah, that's the encoding.
That's the one to encode, one to...
Well, no, you basically you offload different cameras onto different boards, different GPUs. Because my 1070 would do 1440.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't do it. You couldn't stream for long because I have got a YouTube recording of me with the new really fancy camera because I borrowed it and brought it home, and I did some streaming in the loft with that. And my 1070 couldn't live stream for long. It gave up even under 4K. The whole box does 4K, but you need two 1080 Ti's minimum. To do streaming.
It's crazy that it's so demanding. It makes sense that it's so demanding.
Well, it's because it's live. If you want to record it and then stitch the videos together afterwards, it's not so bad. But if you want to do live, their live action, then yeah, you've got to be able to stitch all those cameras together. Because it's not like my 360 camera, because that's only got two lenses. The one for work, right. I think, has got eight lenses on it, or nine or something. It's got loads of lenses on it because it's 3D and 360 and 4K, so it's got loads of lenses on it that it all stitches together. So yeah, it's got to do a lot of extra processing to do live streaming on that. So yeah, so that's why it needs the two 1080 Ti's. But I think 2080 non-TIs are cheaper than 1080 TIs at the moment.
And are they?
Yes, they are.
And 2080s are the better card?
Yeah, I think that's...
They're ray tracing capable, right?
They are, but but when you do ray tracing, it kills the frame rate, so...
Does it still... I thought that they were releasing updates to sort all that stuff out.
I think they're trying to, but obviously ray tracing is quite intensive. That's why nobody does it. It's just horrendously heavy on the GPU or the CPU, whatever you want to ray trace in. That's why all ray tracing is done pre-rendered at the moment. But yeah, so maybe they can get some more workarounds to get it quicker. But real ray tracing is expensive. Obviously, they've got some decent hardware in there, but. Yeah, but all we need is raw power, raw compute power, to do the calculations on the stitching. So, you know, 2080 is more powerful than a 1080 Ti in raw power. We don't care about the ray tracing because we're stitching real video. All the ray tracing is done in real life, so.
Mm-hmm.
With real rays of light and all that lot. So you don't need to do the ray tracing. So, yeah.
Ray tracing apps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I tell you what doesn't have ray tracing is the Switch.
Oh, right, yeah.
But it does have a lot of games.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of games coming out for that now. Not all unique for it.
No, far from it.
A lot of them are just re-releases of PC and...
Oh, yeah, but the support is in full fettle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm catching up, and basically I'm catching up with my PC back catalogue.
By buying it again?
Yeah, some of it. So you made me play something this week.
Well, we got a code through.
Yes. Do you want me to go and tell you what it's called?
Yes, because I've completely forgotten.
Okay, please hold. I will find my Switch and I'll tell you. It's essentially, it's a Japanese... I'm going to get killed if I say anime. It's manga-y, anime, whatever the difference is. I never know.
Well, manga's the comics and anime's the animation. So I guess it's anime. I
guess it's anime style. Tower defense game.
Okay.
I quite like tower defense games in general.
Okay.
I really couldn't get on with this. And it's not that it was necessarily a bad game. Why is it not being my software list? It's not that it's not necessarily a bad game. I couldn't get on with the art style. I couldn't get on with the controls. And it felt scrappily built.
Okay.
And I don't like saying that. Because obviously it's taken someone a long time to do. And that might be the sort of the look that they were going for, right?
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't for me. I managed to stick through a couple of levels, and then that was quite enough. It's called Gensokyo Defenders.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there has been a patch for it. I mean, to be fair, that it's just downloaded a patch, so maybe they've changed a few things. But gosh, I couldn't stick with that for very long.
Yeah. The reason I thought about that is because it came from the same people that gave us the other game that you
Crashlands.
Yes,
Crashlands was love. There's no way that is the same.
No,
development
no, it's
team.
Not the same development team. It's the same
publisher.
PR.
Okay.
People. So
I
thought
because Crashlands, lovely.
Yeah.
I go back to that. I really am enjoying Crashlands. And I'm going back to it in a week where I've got Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu to talk about, Diablo Eternal Collection, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, new update for Mario Tennis, the Katamari Damacy re-roll demo, bit more Starlink Battle for Atlas. I mean, I've been playing apparent Mario Party. I got Super Mario Party.
Okay, yeah.
I finished Gardens Between. That was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Switch games.
Okay.
And in between all of that, I've gone back and played some more Crashlands.
Cool.
So Crashlands definitely is getting big thumbs up from me. Huge game. I really hope that does well for them because they deserve it. So Mario Tennis Aces, there was an update. There's the two new characters available. There's a whole new doubles tournament. There's a new co-op game mode built in for online play. There's all sorts of goodness. They sort of keep chipping away at that one. So I've unlocked the two new characters, which is good fun. And then I have been playing the others. What do you want me to talk about first?
I don't know. Let's go Pikachu.
Let's go talk about Let's Go Pikachu.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Pokemon Red and Blue.
Right,
done okay. In a Pokemon Go style-y. So the art style is nigh on identical to the cartoons.
Okay.
To the anime. Got that right, didn't I?
Yep.
Yep. So it's done to the anime. And you play a boy or a girl, and you can choose from four preset boys and four preset girls. And you'll go on a Pokemon adventure. It is basically Pokemon Yellow, remixed for the modern era. That cave near the beginning, I've forgotten the name of it already.
So don't ask me, I didn't do any Pokemon.
I'm sure it's called something like the...
So you're saying it's Red and Blue, but it's also Yellow.
Well, Yellow was a combination of Red and Blue.
Ah, okay.
So normally the way the mainstream Pokemon games go is they release version 1, version 2, and then they release version 1-2, which is like a remix of the two.
Ah, okay.
So this is version 1-2.
Yeah.
Of the first one, presented by Game Freak, who make the game. And it's really good. I mean, it's fascinating. It takes a long, as a long-standing Pokemon player, at first I was disgusted by the lack of emphasis on battles and things like that. There is a huge emphasis on collection.
Collecting all the different Pokemon?
All the Pokemons. I think it's called Cerulean Cave. It's the cave on the way to the Cerulean town.
Okay.
So I guess it's Cerulean Cave. But it's still horrific. I And I just... it filled me with dread. I completely forgot about it. And then I went back into the cave. I went into the cave for the first time playing
on the
Switch
new
version.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, God, not this bit. I forgot how just soul-destroying it is. But what's quite nice with it is that the Pokemons are on the screen. So they're like real peoples. As in, so you know a normal Pokemon... Have you played a Pokemon game? Or am I going to have to talk to you like you're a complete novice?
Yep, I've not played a No, I did start playing a Pokemon game. But yeah, that's as far as I got.
Okay, so normally on the Pokemans, you're walking around and then suddenly your screen will go... And you'll be in a thing.
Yeah, because I couldn't work out how I found a Pokemon. Because I was trying to... It says, go and hunt a Pokemon. And I went out and I went, so where are they? I can't see
any. In the long grass.
Okay, yeah.
Always in the long grass. So in this one, they're actually walking around. You can sort of see them.
Okay. Because obviously, I remember I played Final Fantasy, and that was all random encounters. But obviously, this is... So it used to be random encounter sort of style, hidden things, but now you can see them, so you can beeline. Can you see what Pokemon it is?
Yes, you can see exactly what Pokemon it is. You can see if it's a big Pokemon or a small Pokemon, so if you're collecting specific varieties of that Pokemon. There's a lot more visibility as to what's going on in the game, which is really nice.
Yeah,
that's a nice feature. Oh, I'm being catted. So that's lovely. I really like that. And then beyond that, the emphasis really is on collecting. So when you're doing a battle, your Pokemon do get XP, but I don't really understand I still struggle with the whole leveling thing. So in normal Pokemon games, the Pokemon that's in your sort of primary slot or the one that starts the battle, or any Pokemon that takes part in the battle, gets a bigger share of the XP. And if you have a specific item, or in some of the newer games, it happens anyway, then everyone else gets some XP as well.
Okay.
In this one, it just seems to be that the XP is evenly divided between all the Pokemon on your team. But it means that leveling newer Pokemon is going to take longer than it would have done in the old game, where you could put them in the first slot and then immediately switch them out.
Yeah, so you can't power level a Pokemon, you just...
Yeah.
It basically doesn't matter... Although, I guess that means it doesn't matter what you've got in your first slot. You just basically have to put...
Well, it does matter, because that'll be the first slot is still the first slot for battles.
Yeah, so you just put in whatever you think will be useful in that area.
Yes,
correct. Because it's all it's typical rock paper scissors type of elements or something.
Yes, it's more than rock paper scissors, but yes, it is typical RPG. One style better than another style, style. Yeah. They've introduced some of the newer Pokemon styles into this. I think off the top of my head, I think there's three styles that weren't in the original games that are in this game. But it's only the original Gen 1 Pokemon. You can apparently import Pokemon from Pokemon Go, so if you're playing that, there's some incentive to play the both.
Oh, I did hear about this, but you can't move them backwards and forwards. You can only import them one way or something.
I think it's one way, but you can store them in your Pokeball Plus, which is a little controller you can buy that's shaped like a Pokeball. Which, by the way, for getting kids to play this game, it's just amazing. Like, Chloe...
Yeah.
Who is not the most dexterous 4-year-old in the world, can absolutely play this game. She can't read the text, obviously, on the screen.
Yeah.
She sort of picks up the odd word. But I read her the text, and she can do exactly what she wants, because it's all done with one control stick that clicks in to be a button, and a little button at the top. And then to catch the Pokemon, you sort of make a throwing gesture.
Okay.
So she completely gets it. I play handheld mode, and for that, you walk around with a stick. It's got the normal button controls, as you would expect in Pokemon. And then for capturing, it uses the gyroscope to align it. If you go out stick, you can use the sticks. And then you just press A to throw the ball.
Okay.
Which seems like a really nice compromise.
Hmm.
I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I dip in, dip out. I mean, this is the thing with the Switch. I can actually play the games that I'm buying because it's always with me. I can choose, do you know what? I played 10 minutes of Pokemon now and then, 5 minutes of Smash Brothers and then 20 minutes of Diablo or whatever. You can sort of switch between all of them.
Okay.
Which is great. So I have been playing Smash Brothers. I opened Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Yesterday, maybe the day before. And I have put in a lot of hours. I've been playing a lot of Smash Brothers. It's wonderful.
Have you played it before?
Yes, and I never really got into it.
Okay.
I really like the one on the Wii. No, I really like the one on the GameCube. I quite like the one on the Wii. I played maybe 5 minutes of the one on the Wii U before deciding that there wasn't enough there to keep me interested. And then this one has got two different types of story, like two different types of single player mode. It's got loads of stuff. So I'm loving it. But more importantly, the Smash Brothers, Katamari Damacy. Is coming out, or it's out on the Switch. I've got the demo downloading as we speak. So Smash Brothers, it's very good. It is really good. It's a fighting game for people who don't like fighting games. So someone like myself,
because it's a platform fighter, isn't it?
It's a platform fighter to do with health levels. So it uses the system made famous by the game that I've forgotten on the N64. Was it King of Fighters?
Possibly, I don't know.
I think it was called King of Fighters on the N64. And I'm pretty confident that was the first fighting game that didn't use an HP bar. So you don't have HP, but what happens is you get punched and kicked. And if you get punched and kicked enough, then your damage percentage goes up high enough, and then you become less stable on the platform.
Okay.
And if that becomes the case, then you have to pay the consequences, and you go flying. And you either lose the round, or you lose a life, and then come back in on the next round.
Okay. Yeah. I've not really played Smash. I do have the demo on my 3DS.
Okay.
So I've played a little bit of that.
The 3DS version was quite good.
It seems okay, but yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be a bit more fun if you're sat on the sofa with some friends.
Yes.
I think that's more of...
Or in handheld mode on the Switch. Because it does play better on the... I played the demo of the 3DS version.
Yeah.
And it's not as fluid, the frame rate.
Okay.
As any of the main console versions. So the Wii U version is obviously highly fluid. The Switch version is very fluid, both in handheld mode and on the TV.
Okay.
You can use any controller that you can connect to the Switch, and you can set your own custom controls. So if there's a specific control style that you really like in fighting games and you want to turn off. So it's got, the thing that Smash Brothers sometimes people get annoyed with is it's got something called push up to jump. So instead of pressing a button.
Okay, yeah.
You just push up on the left analog stick and you jump.
Yeah.
And some people get upset by that.
I can understand.
Has been known to anger people. And I quite like it. Like, I don't have an issue with it. I'm used to it because I've played Smash Brothers before, right?
Yeah.
But I can understand. So you can turn that off. You can set it up to exactly how you want. If you want, the left click to do jump, you can have that.
Right.
You can literally just do what you want.
Okay.
And it'll work.
And just remap all the different buttons.
Correct. Gameplay-wise, it's Smash Brothers, right?
Like, yeah.
If you've played Smash Brothers before, it's Smash Brothers. And
It's got all the characters, hasn't it?
It has got, I think it's 70 or nearly 80 characters in it, and that's before the DLC packs they're releasing. The fighter packs. But yeah, it's got every single Smash character that's ever been smashed. And the amazing thing is, they're all balanced. You know, it doesn't matter who you choose, there is a balance for the person that you're fighting against.
Yeah.
So there is no ultimate fighter, despite it being called Smash Brothers Ultimate. It all boils down to your playstyle, who you're fighting at the time.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, because I found in fighting games, while there were balance, my playstyle was keyed towards certain characters. So I couldn't play all them all evenly. I could only get on really well with a couple of characters because they fitted my style.
Mm-hmm.
How I wanted to fight. So, yeah. That was the...
Which characters were they?
I can't remember. It's so long ago since I actually did any fighting games now. Because I can't remember what the last game I played with fighting game was.
I don't know.
It's so long.
I don't know.
Because I never had a NES or a SNES or any of those.
Any of that modern fangled nonsense?
No, because I was all computer at the time. I was all Atari 8-bits and VIC-20s and things like that. Back in the day, so yeah, I don't know. So yeah, I didn't get into fighting games anyway that much, especially not the brand ones. I used to play them in arcades sometimes.
So, Smash Brothers, it's very good. It's not a normal fighting game.
Yeah, it is. It's a Nintendo fighting game. It really does fit Nintendo quite well, that does.
Absolutely. Bang on. And it's all the better for it. It's really good. Really, really, really good. The fighting's good. The spirits mode is actually surprisingly good. Just excellent. Starlink likewise is very good. Super Mario Party. Now, I got this because I could get it relatively cheaply with an extra set of Joy-Cons. And I thought, you know what? Even if I play a couple of rounds, I'll have got the Joy-Cons out of it. So that'll be fine.
Yeah.
Barely played the main game. Chloe and I have played maybe a couple of throws of the dice on the board. And then she got fed up and wanted to play Mario Kart because she didn't understand how to play the board game part of it. The mini game part, she was fine.
Yeah.
But not the board game part. And I can't convince Claire to play it with me. So at the moment, it's just going to sit there gathering dust until we have people over. And hopefully I can drop the switch into the dock downstairs and it will all work.
I've heard that the main game is pretty terrible anyway. It's always been considered quite a bit naff, really.
Yeah.
It's... The mini games are fine, from what I gather, but yeah, it's always been a bit ropey on the main board game. Because isn't there some weird rules around the board game in the past? About stars and...
Yeah, there's various things. They're not that weird. When you've watched the tutorial bit,
okay.
They're not that weird.
Okay.
They really aren't. But it's good fun. I do enjoy Mario Party because I enjoy the minigame bit when people get into it.
Yeah.
But I need to find people that are willing to engage with me with this one.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the thing. The only times I would play a game like that with other people would be at Christmas.
So I'm hoping, because my brother-in-law's also got a Switch with Mario Party, with actually all the games that I own as well. And I'm hoping that he'll bring his Switch around with his controllers, and then we can not only play Mario Party with all the controllers, but we can do that whole crazy playing across the two screens thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because There's a couple of games that do that, aren't there?
Yeah. So I'm that's now a thing. So I'm looking forward to trying that. I think Mario Tennis will do it as well. So each one of your courses is on your side of the screens, I think. So that was Super Mario Party.
Yeah.
I have also been playing a bit of Starlink, which is still very lovely and really good fun. I got Diablo 3. It was down about 20% off. Diablo's Diablo. Like, it's just Diablo, and it's in my hand, so I can dip into that, which worked really well for Diablo. It's one of those games that just really lends itself to nibbling.
Okay.
To sampling its delights.
Yeah, didn't work so well when I played it at EGX.
But that was also because you were thrown in with a character. You weren't given any idea of what to do or how to do it. You'd never played a Diablo game in your life. I mean, that was probably the worst way of demoing a game like Diablo.
Well, because they weren't demoing it to me, though, were they? They were demoing it to people that had played Diablo before and going, it works really well on the Switch. That was the only thing they were doing.
They were showing people like me that we need to be getting Diablo, which, and to be fair, it's worked, right? I've gone and got Diablo.
Yeah.
So, it has worked because it stuck in my head that it worked really well. And I've gone, yes, master, and gone to go and buy it. Like, I guess they know what they're doing. It worked with Gardens Between.
Yeah.
That was intriguing enough for me to go and do it, and I went and did it, and I did it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've got a few other things lined up on the Switch for this week. I wonder what is there lurking on the Switch. I've got some NES games I'm interested in. Metroid's out on the NES.
Not Virtual Console.
It's definitely not a virtual console that you're paying for in your monthly subscription to play online Virtual Console.
Yeah.
It's out on that, so I'm looking forward to playing that, and so is I want to say Gladius?
What's the name?
Galaxian.
Yeah.
That's how I know.
It was called something else in the US, I think.
Maybe it's Gallagher.
Gallagher in the US, I think. But I think it was called Galaxian here.
I think it was called Galaxian as well. That's what I remember it as from my Atari.
Yeah. Or maybe they were just different.
Gradius.
Versions.
Sorry.
Oh, Gradius. Gradius. Oh, okay, that's different.
Yeah, Galaxian is the vertical scrolling. This is the side scrolling.
Yeah.
So that's out there now. And it's got a special version which gives you loads of weapons when you start, so you just get to have fun. As well as the original version. And then it's got Metroid out, and I've always wanted to play the original Metroid. It's one of those games that I've never got to play. So I'm looking forward to getting involved on that.
Okay.
I've picked up the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Season Pass. I've got all the Torna DLC, which is a whole extra story mode. There's another about 25 hours of content. Really looking forward to playing that when I get around to it. Night in the Woods hasn't pulled me back in as yet. Neither has Forgotten Anne. I've got to points in those games where I might be done. Oh, I've been playing Minute as well. I forgot about that.
Oh, okay. Oh, on the Forgotten Anne, did you get past releasing the brakes on the train?
Yes.
What did you find it really easy? Was it just
the brakes?
Yeah. Was it just the fact that I was playing on mouse and keyboard?
It was not easy to release the brakes. You mean when the train is speeding away?
I can't remember. Yeah, I think so.
And you had to do... Yeah, it was not easy. Once I worked out what it was telling me to do, then it was easy.
Because you had a time limit, don't you?
You've got... Yes, and if you hold down the thing for longer, you can give yourself more of a time limit.
Oh, okay.
Which is really, really unclear.
Yeah, because I thought I just can't do it quick enough.
Correct. Okay. You need to hold it down and you'll see the bar continues to grow.
Ah, okay.
And then it's easy. What else have I got to play this week on the Switch? I've got Shelter Generations to play. I've got 1979 Revolution.
Shelter Generations?
Yeah, Shelter. It's both Shelter games, I think, as one. I need to finish Pwd. I've got one more secret to find in Pwd, and then I've 100%ed Pwd. Hollow I got, which is the game when you're on a ship, I think it is. I'm not going back to Inside. I didn't really get into that. Minute I'm really enjoying. So Minute is a Zelda-alike, as if Zelda was being played on the SNES or the Game Boy.
Okay.
It's a top-down, sort of pseudo-isometric. I guess that's just top-down, right?
Yeah.
And it's played in one-minute chunks, so every minute your character dies, and you go back to the spawn.
Okay.
Sounds a bit weird, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can influence the world in that minute. And as you start to play, you realise what you need to do, and it starts to build this really lovely rhythm where you're just like, okay, I need to achieve this in that minute, and then you die, and then you're like, okay, now I need to achieve that and that in the minute. And half the puzzle is working out what needs doing next in your minute, and then doing it in the next minute.
Okay.
And it builds a really, really good rhythm. I don't think it's in our Steam library. It might be. No. But it is excellent. I don't know if it's out on mobile. I guess it is out on mobile. In fact, I'm 100% sure it's out on mobile. It is out on Steam as well. And it's out on the Switch. But it's really good. It's just this wonderful sort of top-down adventure game. And as I said, everything's in minute chunks, so it lends itself to sort of quick play.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly, the premise was that I picked up a cursed sword. And then that all went badly wrong for me. But for example, if you pick up an item and then you die, that item is back next to your house.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay, so you can pick it up easily again.
Correct. So you can do more in the minute than you could do previously.
Right. Okay, yeah. So you're gradually building it up. And I take it, you said that the things you do, if you complete the thing, then it's completed.
If you complete the thing, then it's completed, and it stays completed.
Okay.
It's very, very clever. Really, really clever little mechanic. What a clever little game squeezing itself into a minute.
Yeah.
Board game-wise, I've got Dualasaur Island arrived.
That's the point. I've been looking for a board game to play with kids.
Oh, okay. How old are your kids?
6, 8, and 10.
Do you need to play with all of them at once?
Not necessarily, but probably would do.
Okay, so if you want a heads-up game, so 1v1,
okay.
Patchwork.
Okay.
The mathematics behind Patchwork are just bonkers clever. Like, it's a kid's game.
Yeah.
But there is such deep mathematics behind it. It's mad. So that's really good. What else do we get? There's random for the kids. My first Stone Age is good, but you're probably best off just getting Stone Age.
Okay.
And obviously Carcassonne as well.
Yeah, I was thinking from card game, I was looking at the Exploding Kittens as a game. But I was thinking of something it's like that zombie game we were playing on Virtual Tabletop.
Zombicide?
Yeah, but not that game, but something a bit similar. Where you're going through a level.
Okay, so is that something you want? You want something or you've seen something?
No, that's the sort of... I want something like that.
Okay, if you want something like that, have a little look at the Warhammer... Warhammer Quest... I can't remember what they call it.
HeroQuest. That, blimey, is that still going? Because I remember that from when I was at college, I think.
Which is
some years ago now. Yeah, okay. That's still going.
Definitely still going.
Ah. Because isn't there that really expensive 200 quid game?
Well, Gloomhaven?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 140 quid, which felt expensive, but these days it's just board game price. Warhammer Quest, Blackstone Fortress, which I guess is the latest edition of Warhammer Quest, £75.
Okay. Yeah, because Gloomhaven was just... I was trying to find it, and it was 200 quid or something. The only copies that anyone had.
But also Gloomhaven, you would need like a regular team to play with.
Okay, it's not just a one-off.
Oh, no. No, Gloomhaven, they reckon, takes about a year to complete, if not a bit longer.
It's more of a RPG type game.
It's very much an RPG.
Okay. More than a...
Very much an RPG.
A board...
So miniature, other miniature games, you've got Warhammer Kill Team, which is obviously Warhammer 40k. Warhammer Quest could work really nicely, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
that could be a good option for you.
Yeah, that sounds like a thing that the kids might get into. Because they wanted me to run Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay for them at one point.
Okay.
But I don't think they've got the staying power for it.
Right.
To go through all the stats and go through all the roles and do all that.
Does it need to be a miniatures game that you want?
No. Doesn't have to be miniatures.
So Diamond's a good one. That's a push your luck game. The kids will sort of get that. And it's good fun. People coming round, you know, for Christmas will enjoy it as well.
Okay.
And you can pick that up for about 20 quid.
Cool.
That's quite nice. Suro is another one, T-S-U-R-O. It's a game when you lay path tiles and you just follow the path around. The aim is to not fall off the board. Again, really simple, but fun. If there's four of you playing...
Yeah.
Azul.
Oh, okay,
which we
played
on tabletop. Get Azul. Like, it's just brilliant.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't know that would keep their attention long enough.
Right. So Diamond is a very good one. Because they're basically, with Diamond, you're spelunking and you choose to carry on going down into the dungeon or turn back.
Okay.
And you earn coins or you earn gems by going forward. And if you turn back and there's some gems left on the path, you might be able to pick them up. So there's like a risk or reward thing, and then if two traps of the same type get revealed, then you all die.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
So if you're still in the dungeon at that point, you die. So then you've got to go to the next dungeon. It's really good. Really, really good. It is definitely one of those games that I keep going back to. Kids, Pandemic's probably too complicated. What else have we got? Munchkin's quite fun, but again, quite a lot of reading for a 6-year-old.
Yeah, I've got Munchkin.
If Carcassonne is a good one.
Okay.
Carcassonne is a really good game for that sort of age, because the 6-year-old will be able to play, but won't really get what they're doing particularly.
Okay.
And the other two really get it.
Yeah, Rose won't get it, but yeah.
But she'll like laying the tile down, right?
She will, yeah.
She won't play with any significant strategy, but she will play.
She'll just play.
She'll be able to play the game,
yeah.
And she'll enjoy, you know, joining in.
Yeah.
But the older ones will, yeah. They'll really get it. The other one that's meant to be really good is Stone Age, which I haven't. We've got the kids' version of it. We've got my first Stone Age.
Oh, okay.
Which is the sort of the one for 4-year-olds. But Stone Age is meant to be good. It's a work... I think it's worker placement. How geeky are your kids in terms of, like... Well, how much do they like these sorts of things?
I don't know. We don't play that many board games. So it's just... It's just one...
Why don't you take them to D20 in Watford?
Oh, okay.
Play some games there and see which ones they like.
Yeah, I would do, but I don't know that we'll have time before anytime soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's some really good. There's really good ones. Clank is a good Clank in Space. I love really good game.
I'll have a look at some of them. Because I just need to get one, because I don't know that we'll play much of it.
I'd say Carcassonne.
Okay.
It, with your age, kids, and if you want something that's relatively short-lasting but engaging and strategic and has all those things to it, Carcassonne.
Okay. All right. I'll have a look there.
It's yeah, that's where I would go.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. If you ask me to say which game to get, go with it and say you go, and then go from there. Because that will give you a really good idea of what type of game they like.
Yeah. See what part they get on with.
Yeah.
Cool.
Exactly. I did something strange this weekend, and I bought a GameCube controller.
Oh, right, yeah.
I got a Smash Brothers one, which I actually bought about 4 or 5 months ago, and I completely forgot I had on order at Amazon, so when it turned up, it was a bit of a surprise.
For the Switch?
Yeah, well, no, it is actually just a GameCube controller. It is. I have received a brand new Smash Brothers emblazoned GameCube controller.
Okay.
And now I need to dig out my old GameCube controllers to see if they've changed anything at all, which I don't think they have. I think it's exactly the same.
Yeah, because I think I'd end up giving away my Wavebird.
Oh my god, do you know how much Wavebirds are worth now?
No.
A lot.
Okay. I'll
More than 30 or 40 quid. I think they're around 60 or 70.
Okay. Yeah, I ended up giving it away because it was just gathering dust.
You should have given it to me.
Well, I don't think I knew you back then, but yeah.
You should have known me.
Because I had it for the Wii.
Okay.
Because I was playing GameCube games on the Wii.
Yes.
So that's why I had it. Because it plugged directly into the Wii. I didn't want cables, so.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It plugs in the top of the Wii.
Yeah. Has GameCube slots. So. That was quite good.
Yeah, one more Wii. I haven't really played anything else, but my PC, Xbox, and PS4 are just gathering dust. Yeah. This is the first time I've turned on my PC.
Yeah, my PS4 I've actually switched on and got the VR headset plugged in, ready to play. So I should be playing that soon. Mm. And, yeah, mostly, yeah, it's just my PC. I've just got my second VR headset set up, so, yeah, hopefully. Maybe I'll let the kids have a go on both headsets, because in theory I can now move the mixed reality headset out of the loft. If I can get a long enough extension cable that works, I can move it out of the loft, because I don't need to move the sensors, because there are no sensors for it. So you just drop it out of the loft and maybe play on the landing. I have a room scale experience on the landing. Because there is some space there, unlike here. So, yeah, it may be doable with the mixed reality headset. But we shall see. I shall experiment over the next couple of weeks.
You shall report back.
I shall report back.
Where are we? So we've got one more show, basically, before Christmas. We need to start thinking of our games of the year, etc., etc.
Oh, blimey. Okay.
Yeah, it's quite tricky, because there's definitely been some games that I have been bowled away with this year. That I will almost certainly have forgotten about by now.
Yes, yeah, I need
but
to
I remember
back
having
them.
Been stunned by games this year. A bit like I've just played it recently, but Yoku's Island Express on the Switch.
Okay.
Just, I was not expecting it to be that good. And it really is wonderful. Yeah, stuff like that. Oh, that's so much. Right. Aaron. Yes. We've still got Card Life to give away.
We have.
Because it's sold out. Card Life has sold out on the Humble Bundle Christmas bundle.
Has it?
Yeah. So if people want to win Card Life...
Are you going to give them
a new challenge. Send us a picture of a cardboard construction with an... And everyone has to just send us a picture of cardboard construction.
Yep. To thelootcasters@hotmail.com. Or tweet it at...
Yeah, tweet it.
At the Loopcasters.
Do that, and you will, not certainly, but most likely, win a copy of Card Life.
We have four to give away.
Yeah.
They're just here in my hand. We've actually got the cards.
We're not posting the cards, that costs money. We will send you a picture of a code on a card.
Yes. We'll DM you the code.
We'll throw the card at our screen.
Yeah.
Right, Aaron, I'm going slowly insane.
Okay, then.
I need to go and get some sleep.
I need to get
Aaron,
this
where can people follow you?
I'm at AaronHUK.
I'm over at Fleischy. The entire show is at the Loopcasters. You can email us at theloopcasters@hotmail.com. All views expressed are entirely the owners of the persons, and they're not representative of the show. All that nonsense jazz. See you next week. Well, no, next week. The week after next.
Yes, in 2 weeks.
See you soon.
Bye.